Welcome to day 32. We are up to Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, the very last Mishnah of this first Perek of Maseches Peah. Just a brief word of introduction. We know that generally by produce, you have to give tithes. You give truma to the Kohen, you give Meiser to the Levi. We also know, and most important for our Mishnah, that Peah is exempt from that requirement. An Ani who acquires Peah does not need to then separate Trumos and Meisers. Instead, Aniyim can keep the entire Peah, all of it, for themselves. So now let's get to our Mishnah. Imagine you were harvesting your field and you made a mistake. You harvested the entire field and you did not leave anything over for the Aniyim, for the poor. You did not leave over Peah. So the question is there any recourse, or did you entirely lose out on the mitzvah? So says Mishnah Vav, the Olam who knows Sein Mishum Peah. No, you can always give Peah afterwards. You should have done it, you should have left it in the field, but even after it's harvested, you can still separate that same amount, 1/60th at least, and give that to the poor, and that still counts for Peah. And not only that, Upater min ha-maisros ad she-yimareach. That Peah, just like regular Peah, is also exempt from Trumas and Maestros. The Ani does not need to then pay Trumas and Maestros afterwards. But there's one condition, Ad Shiyimareach, that is assuming that Peah was separated before it was spread out. What does that mean, before it was spread out? So when food was harvested, it would then be processed to get rid of those parts that are inedible, the imperfections, etc. And then all of the good produce would be brought together in a pile, and then it would be spread out. That spreading out, that moment, it's called Neruach HaKri, at that moment is when the produce becomes chayev, obligated in Trumos and Maisros. So if you separated Peah before it was spread out, that means it never reached the stage in which it was actually chayev, obligated in Trumos and Maisros, and therefore no one has to pay any of those tithes. The implication of the Mishnah, of course, is that if you separated Peah after you already spread it out, then it would be chayiv in those tithes, because again, you already passed that moment in which you spread it out. The Bartanura points out, very importantly, that in that latter case, if you waited too long and you actually gave Peah after Meruah HaKri, after it was already spread out, so then it's not the Ani who has to pay for it, it's actually the farmer. It's not the Ani's fault, right? If Peah was left as it should have been in the field, then no one would have had to pay Trumas and Maisros. The fact that it wasn't was really the fault of the owner, or the fault of the farmer, and therefore the farmer will have to separate the Trumas and Maisros first, and then of the remaining crop, he would give to the Ani, and the Ani would not have to separate anything further. Now our mission is going to continue with other examples of things that before Meruah HaKri, you're able to use the grain before they were spread, and then it would be a putter exempt from Trumas and Maisros. Says the Mishnah, the Nosei Mishum Hefker, or Patra Min HaMaisros Ad Shimareach, if someone takes one's grain and makes it Hefker, makes it ownerless, then whoever picks it up, whoever acquires it, would not have to pay Trumas and Maisros, assuming it was made Hefker, assuming it was made ownerless before Meruah HaKri, before it was spread out. U'ma'achil l'behemu l'chayev l'ofos, u'patra min HaMaisros Ad Shimareach. You can give that grain, you can give that crop to feed to your animals. If it was before Meruah HaKri, then again, it would be Patur from Trumas and Maisros. Right, and also you'd be allowed to take this grain and replant it, right, to have more crop later. You can take of that of the crop that was before Meruah HaKri, and if it was before that stage, again it is patur from Trumas and Maisros. That is Divrei Rabbi Akiva. It happens to be the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim would say that when you're replanting it, you would have to take Maisros. But that is not quoted in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is of the theme of things that are patur. So it's only quoting the opinion that says you would be, which is Rabbi Akiva. Kohen v'Levi shalakachu esagorin ha-maiser shalahem ad she-mareach. So imagine a Kohen or Levi buys produce, but they bought produce before they did Meruah HaKri. So again, generally would be patur for maisers. They're allowed to separate truma and maisers and give it to themselves. That's what it says, ha-maiser shalahem. So if it's a Kohen, you can take the truma for yourself. If it was a Levi, the Levi can take the Meiser for himself. So why is that so interesting? Because generally, if it was not before Meruah HaKri, the halacha is actually that a Kohen cannot keep his own Truma, and a Levi cannot keep his own Meiser. If they buy produce, they have to separate Truma and Meiser and give them to other Kohanim and Leviim. Why is that true? Technically, from the Torah, they should be allowed to keep it. So Chazal were worried about something really, really interesting. I think there's a beautiful sensitivity here. They were worried that, let's say there was a particularly wealthy Kohen or a particularly wealthy Levi, they were able to buy out produce, right? And by buying out the produce, not only do they get the produce that they wanted, but they also can separate Truma and give it to themselves, right? Because they are Kohanim or Meiser. They're the Levi. What would that lead to? It would lead to Kohanim or Levim who were less wealthy, who would not be privy to that Truma Umaser. Imagine a regular non-Kohen, right? Imagine I, David Block, I buy produce. I can choose to give the Truma or Maser to any Kohen or any Levi that I want. And maybe I would have given it not to this very wealthy Kohen, but to a Kohen who is more needy, a Kohen who could really appreciate that Maser or Truma. So, to prevent Kohanim from just coming, wealthier Kohanim, from just coming and buying out grain and then preventing other Kohanim from getting the Truma, they said when you do that, the Truma has to be separated by the Kohen and then given to another Kohen. But in our case, if it was done, again, before Meruch HaKri, that the mitzvah of Trumas Maisers never even set in, so then they can keep it for themselves. And finally, Hamakdish Ufode Chayiv Maisers Ad Shemareach HaGizbar. The case is that if one dedicates one's grain to the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes Kodesh. Anything that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash is not required in Trumas and Maisers. But then imagine the person says, you know what, I really want that produce back. So what do? You go bring the money to the Beis HaMikdash and you redeem it. You give the equivalent amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash, the money becomes Kodesh, and then you can take back your fruits, which are no longer Kodesh. So the question, So the question is, are you now chayev in Trumas and Maisers on the food that you just brought back, that you just redeemed? So the answer is, if Meruach HaKri was done already in the Beis HaMikdash, then it was already exempt, right? The time in which the obligation of Truma Maaser would have set in, it happened when it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, which means that it never set in. And therefore, when you get it back, it is already exempt from Truma Maaser, you don't have to give it. But if the Gizbar, which is the person who oversees this, if the Gizbar did not yet do Meruach HaKri there, that means the Isser, the mitzvah never set in, and therefore when you get it and you do Meruach HaKri, that's when it's Chayiv in Truma Maaser and you would have to pay for it. Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. We know that when it comes to Peah, the Torah says, Lo sechaleh pa'as sadecha, you should not harvest the end of your field, sadecha, your individual field. We learn from there that each and every field requires its own Peah. If you have multiple fields, you can't just leave Peah in one field to cover all of the others. So the question then becomes, well then what is considered two different fields? Meaning when is, a large plot of land considered one field, or when is it considered two fields? So says the Mishnah, Ve'ilu mafsik in the Peah. These are the things that can divide up a field to make them into two fields or more, such that each one requires its own Peah allocation. Says the Mishnah, Hanachal, a stream, Mashalulas, an irrigation system, V'derech HaYachid, V'derech HaRabim, a road, a private road, which is 4 amos wide, or even a public road, which is 16 amos. Either way, those would divide up a field. Ushvil HaRabim, Ushvil HaYachid, forget a road, even a tiny path, even a really narrow, like, trail. Hakavu b'mosachama b'mosachasham, as long as it is generally used, it's there and used both in the summer months, in the wintry months, in the rainy season. If it's always used, then even if it's much, much more narrow than a road, it would still divide up the field to make it into two or more. The habur, imagine you have a field with a large kind of strip down the middle that is totally uncultivated. That part of the field is totally uncultivated. The hanir, or it was plowed, but nothing beyond that. Or v'zera acher, or a different crop was planted in that strip. So you have wheat, and then another crop, and then wheat. All of these things would be considered something that divides up a field such that the fields on each side would be considered two separate fields for the requirement of Peah. Additionally, v'akotcher l'shachas mafsik. Imagine a person has a large wheat field and in the middle, it's not yet ready to be harvested, but a person wants to give fodder for his animals and they don't mind if it's ripe or not. So a person harvests a big strip right down the middle of the field, says mafsik, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that would also would constitute a division between fields. V'cham omrim einu mafsik ela im kein charash. They say no, just harvesting unripe produce would not be enough to divide the fields, but if a person harvested and then plowed it, then you're really showing that you're really dividing up the field into two, and then each side would be considered its own field and require a peah individually. We will continue with Mishnah Beis tomorrow.